Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Caleb Wisted back on the show. We got to know this Wisconsin angler this last winter, talking ice fishing. Now we're talking long rods in the boat. We get a great update from this guy, and you're going to find his educational and entertaining YouTube content on the Hooked Up Wisconsin YouTube page. That's Hooked Up WI, all lowercase, all one word. Caleb is a multi-species, a multifaceted angler. In this conversation, we deep dive into a couple different walleye topics. I'm especially appreciative of Caleb's reminders as to why walleye anglers should all have a jig and paddle tail presentation at an arm's length at the ready at all times. So let's get into it here. Caleb Wisted. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. I'm excited about this one and kind of getting to learn your open water operations, but yeah, we'll get it started a little bit and talk about your season, kind of how your fishing season's been and how you've been fishing, where you've been fishing, what it's been like so far this year, man. And you can start in the spring and or whatever's been fun and interesting for you so far this year, man. Get her started.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting year because I've fished a lot differently this year than I have in the past. Partly out of necessity and partly just because of the fact that I got a brand new boat and I've got a nice live scope set up and I've been learning that, and how to fish with that efficiently. So, you know, and that we had a weird spring. There was some patterns that didn't materialize this spring that normally do. So we kind of had to adapt and catch fish different ways than we typically do in the spring. Like, typically, we have a really good jerkbait bite for smallmouth and walleyes early spring, like around that early May, like around opener. Like, you can usually go throw jerkbaits like X-wraps and stuff on the edge of the weeds and catch a nice mixed bag of walleyes and smallmouth and pike too. But that just never really happened in any of our lakes. It never got hot. Like, you could throw jerkbaits and the fish just weren't eating them for whatever reason. And so we ended up using swim baits and catching fish, almost all our fish on paddle tails and jigs this spring versus jerk baits. So that was kind of an odd bite that was missing from our season this year. And I've talked to quite a few guys who said the same thing. Like, it might have been a day or two that they caught fish on jerks, but then it was over. So yeah, it's kind of weird. I usually do a lot of that. So that was a kind of an adaptation that then I just carried into the rest of the season. Cause I mean, I'll tell you this, if I could pick one bait to fish for every species all year, if I could only use one type of bait, it would be a jig head and a paddle tail, 100%. Like nothing even comes close. And I almost always am fishing with some sort of paddle tail, no matter what I'm doing. So, they just work. And once you learn how to use them, especially with live scope, when you can put them right on fish, they're just super deadly for everything. So, we've been fishing with those a lot, especially early spring for the walleyes. It was just a slaughter with those baits. If you could swim them past the school of walleyes, they were going to eat it. So
where and when did you, I was just writing this down because I didn't want to forget it if you kept going, but how would you sort of express your story and your relationship with fishing, you know, paddle tails? Like you said, that's a confidence bait for you. I think that these are always great, great stories and opportunities to talk to people like you that really do have that next level of confidence in an artificial like a paddle tail.
Well, I would say my initial foray into paddle tail swim baits was actually from reading in Fisherman back in the day. And they started talking about paddle tails for walleyes. And they'd been using them, you know, for walleyes a little bit, but it was kind of a secret for a while. And then they publicized some stories on it and, you know, multi-species too, bass and pike and everything else. So I started to experiment with them a little bit. You know, this is probably 15 years ago, maybe something like that. And I ended up kind of experimenting with heavier jig heads and slow rolling a lot of swim baits over deep weeds in the summertime. And I did really well with that on a mixed bag of largemouth and pike and walleyes and smallmouth. So it's kind of a fun mixed bag thing. And then I got into the micro swim baits when I joined Euro Tackle because they make the 2-inch B Vibe, which is a small paddle tail that is one of the best paddle tails for multi-species I've ever used. And it's a just killer crappie lure. I've caught big bass on it. I've caught tons of walleyes on it. But for panfish, it's just absolutely deadly. And trout. It's one of the best. It is the best brown trout lure for stream brown trout, in my opinion, that there is. No, hands down. I mean, I've had 20 to 30 fish days with, you know, half those fish being over 16 inches up to 22 inches, all on paddle tails in streams around here. So that kind of got me going on those because I had always used MEP spinner for trout in the past. That's kind of what everybody used. And I was out fishing those 10 to 1 with plastics. So that got my brain kind of turning a little bit, the wheels turning, I guess. And I started experimenting with them more for everything. And for like, just last week, we were up on Lake Superior casting swim baits for big lake trout. We caught like probably 10 lakers on swim baits on a big reef out in Lake Superior. You can vertical jig them for lake trout too, through the ice or open water. I've caught them both ways. And then I just caught a 45-inch muskie, 45 by 25 girth, 2 days ago on a 9-inch paddle tail.
Yeah.
So, like, you just... There's no real limit to how you can fish them because you can rig them weedless with a weedless swim bait hook. You can rig them light to go shallow. You can rig them as heavy as you want to go as deep as you want, or retrieve as fast as you want. So the heavier the jig, the faster you can retrieve it. And you can slow it down way down by just using a smaller jig head. So it's the most versatile bait because you can swim it, you can jig it. We use them early in the spring on the river systems for walleyes, vertical jigging them in 33 degree water, you know, and then I'll burn them for largemouth over weed flats in 85 degree water. So there's just no limit to what you can do with them, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I think that, like, I'm getting triggered here in this conversation because I feel like, you know, I feel like I should do way more conversations like this because, you know, it maybe this is just for me, but like, you know, if you're somebody that is heavy on live bait, you know, like if you're just somebody that where live bait is the ultimate confidence of yours, and so many of us it is.
Yep.
to your last point there, the versatility is, there's really no comparison. Like if you want to go from being a live bait, the soft plastics would be like the first step. Like this would be my recommendation. I feel like it's like the first step away from, it's like the easiest step to make away from live bait because it is so versatile. Yeah. And you can, every single day of the year, you can manipulate, you know, which is what I want to get into, of like the spectrum of what you can do to fish a walleye anywhere a walleye lives, anywhere across the country. It's like a point that I probably don't make nearly enough. I would like to get into that a little bit more. And I do want to talk about like the summer patterns on the lakes around you in Wisconsin and sort of integrate that into this. But I definitely feel like I want to kind of go down this path.
As far as walleyes go and saugers, early spring on the river systems, we use 3 and 4 inch paddle tails on heavy jig heads and we vertical jig them. So we'll either pitch them slightly up current and work them back down to us, just using real slow lift and falls. So you're not jerking, you're not ripping, you're not working the bait aggressively at all. It's just a lift and fall. And typically like 1/2 ounce to 3/4 ounce jigs is what we're using. And you've got a lot of current in the spring. Typically there's runoff and all that. So we're using some pretty bright colors, chartreuses and pearl whites and purples and stuff like that. And just basically lift it 12 inches back to bottom and just work it down. And we catch tons of fish doing that in the spring. Or early, and I'm talking like below 40 degree water temps. So that will work any time of year too if you've got walleyes deep. So that's one way that I use them for walleyes. Now we've got kind of a gap here where our season closes inland on all our lakes after basically it's still iced over in March, and then it opens again in May. So we don't get to fish swim baits, you know, through the spawning season in our inland lakes here, but we can go fish the rivers like the tributaries like Michigan, Lake Michigan itself, Green Bay. Those fisheries don't close, so we kind of do the same thing down there. We vertical jig them in the deeper rivers, and then we cast and the shallower stuff and just a real slow lift and fall. If you're less than, you know, 10 feet of water, you're going to use a lighter jig head, like 1/4 ounce versus those heavier ones. Cause you don't want it to fall too fast. But again, you're just looking for that slow lift and fall, and the tail is going to kick on the way up and it's going to kick on the way down. And a lot of times they hit it right before it hits the bottom again, they'll follow it. And then as it drops, they'll just suck it in right before it hits the bottom. So that's the start of it. Then jumping ahead to like opening day of in May here, early May, typically it's post spawn. Fish are still really shallow. So what we're casting swim baits at that point, pretty shallow, like 4 to 8 feet, I would say is pretty typical. So I'm oftentimes using a 1/4 ounce jig head with a 2.5 inch paddle tail and just swimming it a little ways, then letting it fall to bottom, couple hops, swimming it a little ways, let it fall to bottom. And then I snap it a few times as I get closer to the boat just to try and get a reaction if something's following it. And that's how I fish a lot, you know, for the first month of the season, probably. In most lakes around here, natural lakes, and that works pretty well. And you know, you don't need live scope to do that. You can just fish along weed lines and catch lots of fish without live scope. But as the season moves on and getting into June and July like we are now, those fish are getting way smarter, like, and they start having a lot more access to food, so they're not nearly as hungry as they were back in May and early June. So they get a lot more picky and they start to school up a lot more too. And you can really struggle catching them sometimes when they move just off those weed lines onto those deeper weeds, like that 10 to 15 feet. But if you have live scope, you can get them to, you can get them to trigger with a swim bait. And that's what I've been doing lately is I'll spot a school of walleyes on live scope. I'll pitch past them and then I'll start swimming the jig, letting it fall and then kind of swing into the school. And once I get one to chase, I just start reeling away as soon as it starts coming after it, as fast as it'll follow it. And a lot of times they'll follow it almost to the surface before they hit it. And I'm talking 15 feet up, they'll come almost to the surface to before they actually hit it, before it gets away, basically. So I'm still catching some that way right now. Caught a couple that way today, actually. And then you can start to do some rip jigging late in the season too. Like this time of year on, you can put a real heavy jig head on, like a 1 ounce or a 3/4 ounce and a small paddle tail. And you can just snap it and let it drop to bottom, snap it 3-4 feet off the bottom, let it fall to bottom. And that can work pretty well too. Although I haven't had as much luck with that lately. I don't know. It just seems like when I have live scope, I can make them chase it. And that seems to work better for me to trigger fish that are kind of negative, neutral. And to be honest, there's still days where they will not bite it. You have to put a leech on a slip bobber on top of the school, and you might get one out of a school of 50 to eat it some days. That's how finicky they get. But usually I can find a few that'll bite on the plastic, even in the tough times like right now. So that's kind of the progression. And then towards late summer, when they get real deep on the humps, it still works great. Just vertical jigging or just using a heavier jig head. A lot of people just don't use a heavy enough jig head, I think is part of the, that's part of the misnomer when it comes to jig heads. Like, yes, with live bait, you want to get away with as light a jig head as you can. Complete opposite with paddle tails. You want a heavy jig head so you can make that bait do what you want it to do. And you can get it down to those fish fast. And a light jig head, you just can't work it. It's too light. So I rarely use less than 1/4 ounce. And I'd say most of the time I'm using 3/8 or half with most of my paddle tails, even the small ones. So, but then, yeah, getting into August and fall, you know, the fish start to push back shallow again as the water cools down and they're looking for big, big meals. And I'll switch to like 4 to 6 inch or even bigger paddle tails and cast them back up on those weed lines again. Weeds start dying out and the panfish get pushed out of those weeds that they were hiding in, and those big walleyes are waiting to eat them as the weeds kind of die. So throwing big paddle tails in the fall can be really fun. You get some pretty violent strikes that time of year. So, and then getting into winter, I've started to use them even in the through the ice a little bit.
Maybe do a little bit of an overview there, kind of like this recent video that you made. Like, you know, if somebody was going to go out and just kind of pick, you know, 4 or 5 different paddle tails or just soft plastics that and jig setups, and I'm even talking line and rods and, you know, just castability, things that you like or preferences you have, and just sort of sit in sort of the gear choices. Like if somebody wanted to have, you know, just a couple, maybe a couple little slides of tackle to make themselves pretty darn versatile and ready to attack on the good days this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of paddle tails out there now. I mean, there's literally probably hundreds of choices. I've been fishing, I would say 90% of my paddle tail fishing, I've been using the Rapala Crush City Mayor lately, because it's just the tail kicks fast or slow. They don't flip over on you. They've got a good bait fish profile to them. The plastic's pretty tough, but it's soft enough that the tail's got good kick to it. It holds on jig heads pretty well. And they've got 2.5, 3 inch, and 4 inch. So you got most of your sizes covered. They've got just some basic good colors, solid walleye colors. And for whatever reason, it just catches fish. I don't know. That's one thing about paddle tails. You'll find that some don't catch fish and some do, and I don't even know why. They look the same in the water sometimes, but you just find one that works and you stick with it. And that's kind of what it's been for me with that one. Another one that works good for rip jigging and snap jigging in a little smaller profile is the Euro Tackle 3-inch B-Vibe. That's been pretty good for me. Caught a lot of walleyes on that. And, I mean, honestly, you don't need a lot of diversity. I guess early in the season, some of those ribbed, kind of more flexible ones like the Pulsar minnow are good in the river. They get a little more action at slow speeds. But I was catching walleyes in 34 degree water on the Mayer too. So I guess that's where I'm at. I've been pretty happy with that one, honestly. I just don't really have a lot of different styles that I tie on as far as the swim baits go. I'll change the size and color, but I have a lot of confidence in that one. And then as far as jig heads go, been just primarily using the VMC Moon Eye jigs. They're pretty easy to use. They got lots of options on weights, and the hooks are light wire, which I like for walleyes. I don't like using heavy wire hooks for walleyes because I want that hook to sink real easily, especially with lighter tackle like I'm using. You know, a lot of times I'm typically throwing this stuff on like a 6'10" to 7 foot medium light extra fast is kind of my go-to rod. And I'll be throwing that on probably 10-pound braid most of the time with a 6 to 8 foot fluorocarbon leader, usually 8-pound. Bigger fish, I might go 10. Super clear water, I might go 6. That's pretty much it. That's kind of my typical setup. If I'm throwing real big swim baits in the fall on like 1-ounce jig heads, then I'll go to a medium rod, like a 7 foot medium, and I'll upsize the braid to 15-pound and leader to 12-pound. But that's really all you need. It's pretty simple. But you start throwing those bigger, heavier wire jigs and you need heavier tackle to set the hook on fish and sink the hook. And then you're starting to show up to the fish more, especially in clear water. Anytime you upsize line, you have to sacrifice some visibility. So
Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations, and to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Those thin wire hooks. You know, it's definitely, yeah, your hookup ratio or staying hooked up, you know. Yep. You know, it's even with big fish, you know, people talk about beefing up a hook to wrench on a bigger fish. But, you know, if you just kind of figure out the type of rod, you know, and a reel with a good drag, like, you know, you set the hook and then, you know, you fight the fish. If you can figure out that thin wire, I think that's a phenomenal point of burying the hooks a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, I've caught a lot of big fish on those jigs too. I mean, I caught a 14-pound pike on one of those jigs this spring. I've caught lots of different bigger species and, you know, big walleyes too, with no, I've never bent one of those hooks out. As long as your drag set right, you're not going to lose fish on those jigs.
Now, you've already kind of alluded to, you know, cadence and things like that, but I'm sort of curious of a description on sort of your cadence throughout a day of fishing. You know, with these summertime fish, they can be moody. They can, you know, you kind of got to figure that part out. Are you the type of person that would ultimately start bigger or more aggressive and then sort of, you know, work your way into a quieter or a more finessey pull through those fish? Or you sort of stick with something that you feel like gets you bit, but, you know, maybe work your way more aggressive if the fish let you? Like, how would you sort of describe your cadence and how you figure out the mood of the fish throughout the day?
Well, for walleyes, man, once the water gets above like 50 degrees, like you can just make them chase it pretty aggressively most of the time. They're either going to eat it or they're not. Like, I don't actually change my cadence or my rhythm a whole lot throughout the season, other than early season. I'm doing that slow lift in fall. A walleye has no problem catching a paddle tail. You know, even on a heavier jig, swimming it fast, they can catch it if they want to. And you are not trying to finesse these fish with a paddle tail. It's not the goal. If you want to finesse them, throw a leech on top of them with a slip bobber and catch them all day long. But this is not a finesse technique. It's what I would call a power fishing technique most of the time. So you're covering water, you're looking for active, aggressive fish, and you're going to throw at fish that follow it. Especially now that I have live scope, I actually see how many fish follow baits and don't eat them. And it's mind blowing how many fish follow your bait to the boat and don't eat it. I mean, 10 times more than actually eat it. We'll follow it for 20 yards and not touch it. You still catch fish, the ones that are aggressive, but there's, for that one fish you catch, there's 20 more that looked at it and didn't eat it. So it's pretty interesting. Like I've got a lake right now that's just, there's one part of the lake that's just loaded with walleyes. I'm talking thousands of walleyes and schools of 50, 20, 100. And a lot of times you can cast the jig over a school of 50 walleyes and only two of them will actually follow it and one of them might hit it. So it's pretty fascinating to see that. You know, when they're neutral and negative, how a couple fish will still fire up and chase it, but the majority of them won't hit it. So you got to cover water. You know, that's the key. Covering water, keep moving. Don't try and finesse them with a swim bait, because that's not going to work for you probably.
I think that's such a good point to make, and, you know, relating it to, you know, before we had forward sonar, and still so many people don't. And so, like, you know, and like Jason used to make this, or still makes this point a lot, but it, like, yeah, like the pre-forward sonar, like swim baits have always been popular for like that scenario you just described. Is like, if you fish it, it's so efficient. If you can just, you know, fish it for what it is and just be efficient, even if you're fan casting, even if, you know, no forward sonar, but it'll show you where some fish are.
Yep, and so it's a great search tool.
Yeah. If you start the day on it, and that's where I'm just like feeling so triggered that I feel like I haven't given it enough love. You know, there was something that we talked a lot about like 2, 3, 4 years ago, but now it's, you know, forward sonar has us so specific on things. Like nobody wants to have something that's versatile. We're all like, you know, getting super hyper-focused. If we have forward sonar now, we're getting so dialed in, detailed, that, you know, a specific jig with 3/4 crawler, not a half, not a full, you know, like we're all so detail-oriented with our presentation, you know, each and every day with each specific set of conditions that we're fishing in, that, you know, but this is still such a good conversation to have, because people are still ought to be looking for like the ultimate confidence, you know, with something like this. And if you don't have forward sonar, I feel like that's one of the best ways to sort of take it and run is like, it's such a great search tool and it's so fun. Like,
oh yeah, I would much rather catch them on that.
Yeah. If you're going to end the day, you know, rigging leeches at, you know, 0.4 miles an hour, or, you know, you're going to be, you know, trolling or doing whatever, like, you know, spending those key parts of the day fishing like this, like it's a search tool and just fishing fast and, you know, and just figuring out where a couple of aggressive fish are is a lot of times going to show you where a lot of fish are living, or the type of spots that you can start keying in on. If you're going to eventually, you know, you might evolve throughout the day or throughout the season, you might evolve it into the finesse stuff and doing the slip bobber stuff, but man, who doesn't want to remind themselves of why they ought to be throwing a paddle tail, you know?
Yeah. And one thing that it can do also, even if you do have forward facing sonar, is when the fish are tough, you can use it as a tool to find the fish that are more active. You start throwing it at a school and nothing happens. One lazily follows it. Then you throw it at a school and a bunch of fish zip up at it. All those fish are a lot hotter than the other two schools you just checked. And you can slow down and fish that school a little bit more thoroughly. And also, if you don't have forward facing sonar, that's how I fished before I had LiveScope. I would throw paddle tails and plastics and cover water until I caught a fish or two. And then I would slow down and start fishing that area with live bait and start milking it and catching more fish once I knew they were there. That's how I located them before forward facing was search baits, basically, or trolling. You know, we used to do it trolling too. You'd troll crankbaits or whatever, or bottom bouncers till you got into fish and made a few waypoints, and then you'd go back and fish them with slip bobbers or whatever. But there's probably 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks this spring, I never brought live bait with me because I didn't need it. I would just go catch my limit of walleyes every single time out on plastics. So I didn't even buy live bait until probably mid June. But then they did get more finicky, and then, you know, but then it got to the point where you could go cast a slip bobber and a leech and catch as many as walleyes as you wanted. I mean, we caught 50 in 2 days on slip bobbers in just a few hours each day. And that's fun for a while, but you know, it gets old. I would rather catch my three fish to take home on jigs, even if I don't catch 30 fish, I'd rather catch my three keepers on a jig and paddle tail because it's so much more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Catching the way an aggressive fish bites an aggressive presentation like that. I mean, they're intending on killing a prey.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like slurping it in. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, no. Totally, man. I'm 100%. I think 99% of anglers listening to this in that same boat is like, man, you're always going out with sort of that fantasy in mind of like, I want to dictate how I catch them at least a little bit. It's like, I want to catch some no matter what. And I maybe don't care exactly how I catch some. But if I'm going somewhere confident that I can catch some, I do want to dictate the terms of maybe like how I catch some of them. And why wouldn't you give yourself a reason, you know?
Al Linder's kind of talked about this before, but it's kind of that progression of your fishing. If you're in a career or if you fish a lot or you guide or whatever, it's kind of that progression of, okay, I just want to catch a fish. That's the first thing you want. Then you want to catch a species of fish, a particular species of fish, right? Then you want to catch a big fish of that species. Then you want a trophy. But eventually, you want to catch the fish how you want to catch the fish, right? You know you can catch them. You know you can probably catch a big one here and there. But now you want to catch them the way you want to catch them. And that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like, I'll sometimes pull my hair out trying to catch fish the way I want to catch them.
Yeah.
Where I know I could throw a slip bobber and catch them all day long, but I want to figure out new ways to catch them, or I want to catch them a certain way, like on a paddle tail or whatever. It's just more of a, it's just a challenge, you know.
The lakes that you fish, typically, are you able to get away from people, or do you fish pretty pressured, you know, or even just boat pressure? I mean, anywhere in Wisconsin is going to have mm-hmm. boat pressure this time of year. Sort of curious how you, you know, how you would describe the lakes that you fish, or how you pick spots on certain lakes, or how does that affect your fishing?
Well, we definitely have pressure. There's no doubt about that. And what I've seen here, at least in Wisconsin, the lakes I fish, the fish don't move because of pressure. I always used to think that that happened. I used to think, oh, all this pressure is pushing them out of this area. Now that I have LiveScope, that is not the case. They just stop biting. They're still in the exact same spots they were before the pressure, or before the boats hit the lake, or before the weekend. Like, I can go back to this one area after the 4th of July weekend, and I know there was a bazillion boats there, and I know those wallows are still going to be there. So they just get lockjaw, basically. They learn what's food and what's not, and they quit biting. So you got to get real creative sometimes to get bites on those pressured areas, because the fish are still there, but they are pretty wary. A lot of them have been caught, or the aggressive ones have been caught. And then you've got fish that have been stung by hooks a few times and caught and released a few times. And they just get real, real shy of biting. And a lot of times it's not necessarily boat shy either. That's the other thing I've noticed. I used to think, well, when fish are spooky, they spook from the boat. But they don't actually swim away a lot of times from the boat at all, but they know you're there. And when you're around, they just won't eat. So you still have to make long casts sometimes, but it's not because the fish aren't close to you. It's because the ones close to you know you're there and they're not biting. So it's just, I don't know. It's just a matter of doing, it's a combination of exploring new areas and fishing old areas that, you know, the fish are there in new ways, I guess, is my best advice. But I think part of the way the spring went was telling for me that the fishery's changing because of how efficient people are getting at fishing. The fish are getting smarter. They're getting more pressured. They're getting wiser. The aggressive ones are getting caught sooner. And it's a lot harder to catch them now than it used to be, even 5-6 years ago, before forward-facing sonar came out. And now, to catch a lot of fish, it's pretty hard to do without forward-facing in some of these lakes. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, like, fair
enough. It's not as easy as it used to be, because everyone knows where the fish are now. Well, maybe not everyone, but a lot more people know where the fish are now than they used to. So everybody's fishing the fish instead of the lake, basically, at this point.
Yeah, so. But I mean, even for, you know, if you look at any amateur weekend warrior, you know, mm-hmm. You know, 5 or 8 or, you know, even so much as like 10 bites a day doing whatever, it's a pretty great day. For a lot of folks,
yes.
You know, if you go mm-hmm. out on a you know, just like a reasonably pressured lake on a Saturday, you know, a lot of those boats, you know, if you get 3 good bites and they're fish that, you know, you can clean and eat, or if you're really on it and, you know, you got a couple people in the boat and you're doing whatever and you get 6 walleyes. And of course, on lakes where you're at, you know, in the process of doing that, you're going to catch a bunch of everything probably. That's a good day of fishing.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of other species to target in Wisconsin too. And I'll be honest with you. I have not always been a great walleye angler until the last couple of years. I've started to learn a bit more, but you know, I used to target pike and bass a lot, and I used to eat a lot of pike because I just wasn't catching many walleyes. But this year, I really got into walleye fishing and started to figure it out. And I mean, I don't know how many we put in the boat this spring, a couple hundred at least. And it's really opened up my eyes. Just forward-facing sonar is really an incredible learning tool. I mean, it really is. Your learning curve is just cut by I don't even know how to describe how fast you can learn with it. So it's been fun to learn how well I kind of relate to structure, how they school, you know, how much you can get away with as far as how close you can get to them before they start to turn off, you know, how long they'll look at a bait before they eat it. You know, some of these walleyes will stare at a leech for a full minute before they eat it. And it's just fascinating to see how those fish move and react to things underwater. So
you're a versed angler. You're a well-versed, you know, dedicated lifelong angler. And now you've gotten more deeper into the forward sonar deal and more specifically with walleyes as of recent. Are there some things that you could sort of put your finger on that, you know, things that you did pre forward sonar that you still do or you still believe in terms of like, you know, like we're talking like presentation oriented or just how you fish spots? Or what are some more new school things that you feel like even so much as, you know, your more recent outings, like, are you like talking about your evolution, like the other side of that coin of like, what are some things that you've completely, like just some gear that you could just sell on Facebook Marketplace, because now that you have forward sonar, you just feel like you're probably never going to do it again. Like what would be some examples of that for you?
It has completely changed how I fish for sure. I would say the similarities to what I used to do and what I do now are, you know, a lot of the old spots I used to fish that I knew had fish still have fish. Mm-hmm. And I'm still fishing the same spots, but the difference is now I know where the fish are sitting on that spot. So I'm not fishing a bunch of water that doesn't have fish in it, to find that one spot on the spot anymore. Cause it moves. The fish don't always sit on the spot that you think. So they'll sit 50 feet that way or 80 feet the other way, or they'll be on a structure, but they move around. So if you can't see where they're at, you're casting at no fish a lot. Yeah. And with forward facing sonar, I never make a cast that's not at a fish anymore. So it's just a whole different mentality. Same areas, but I'm pinpoint casting two fish rather than just fan casting. And there's still days I don't use forward facing sonar to see the fish, especially in thick weeds. You know, early mm-hmm. spring, the fish were tight to the weeds. You couldn't see them. So I was just casting weed lines. But the nice thing about forward facing sonar is you can see the weed line. So, you know, every cast is on the weed line. And before that, you had to kind of guess where the weeds were. One cast, you'd be buried in them and ripping weeds out. And the next cast, you'd be in 16 feet of water, way away from the weeds. And then you'd finally get one right. But with forward facing, you get every cast right on the weed line. Even though you're not seeing the fish, you know the bait's in the hot zone. When it comes to open water, it's just... I used to troll quite a bit. I used to troll bottom bouncers. I used to troll crankbaits. I don't know that I'll do much of that anymore because I can scope of the basin. I can scope, like, we've got one lake around nearby that's got a 30 foot flat basin. And I just go out there and I sharpshoot them and make one cast. Usually they come up and smack it, and I don't have to deal with putting planer boards out and heavy rods and all that tackle. It's way more fun to fight them on a spinning rod anyway.
Yeah.
So I think my walleye trolling inland is really pointless at this point. I don't see a lot of application for it. Great Lakes. Yeah. It's still definitely applicable there, like on Lake Superior and Erie. And then some of the systems we have up here are real stumpy and the fish can hide really well. So sometimes it's better to, like those flowages, is better to troll than try and, you just can't see them in there very well. But yeah, so that's a few points, I guess, when it comes to walleyes. Even those lake trout, you know, we were up on Lake Superior. We typically used to troll for lake trout, and now we're scoping them and casting swim baits right on top of them. or vertical jigging them. So
yeah, I like those points. It's there's a certain aspect that it's just fun. So it's like personal preference.
Yep.
Yeah, I can appreciate that for sure. That there's definitely a time and a place where it is definitely like the best thing, and it's worth the investment and figuring that out and learning it. And then there's other scenarios where, you know, if you're doing it, you're just doing it because you like it. But the trollers are still going to have their day on big water and things like that. I think that's a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's starting to take over even that. I mean, the AIM tournament up here, in the St. Louis River and Lake Superior was basically used to be a trolling tournament because that was how you caught walleyes in Lake Superior and the river. But this year guys have figured out LiveScope and dialed it in so well that they were able to scope 103 pounds of walleyes.
Yeah. I had Isaac on actually. Yeah. That was sounded super interesting. I've never fished over there, but dude, how crazy did it? Yeah. Yeah. I think the tournament world, oh, jeepers. Yeah. I think that, forward sonar.
Yeah. Like, because they're not having to sort fish anymore. They don't have to sort through a bunch of 20 inchers that bit their trolling lines. They're just casting at big fish now. So they don't even have to mess with the little fish. They just find big fish and cast to them. And if they're not big, they don't even cast because it's just a waste of time. So that's how they get super efficient. Especially in a fishery like that, where there's so many fish, you spend half your time catching the wrong fish all day. You're not as efficient.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt, man. No, man.
I think that's an unbelievable tournament.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And looking at the pictures and the little video clips of like, just how like super dirty water, like the guys that were off the main channel, just like absolutely like 1 inch visibility, super shallow, like 3 foot of water, and these fish, these guys were catching them right next to the trolling motor on scope, like unbelievable. Like they're setting the hook and the fish breaks the surface on the hook set 10 feet from the boat. Like it was like a foot under, you know, but that's another harebrained deal too, where you got to put that, you got to figure out which way that fish is facing. Cause you got to put that bait, you know, or it's got to thump. They got to know it's there within inches of their face.
Yeah, you got to be really good at live scope and pinpoint casting to do that well. And those guys are really good.
yeah, for sure. But it is. It's interesting. You know, there's a big, pretty good sized user group with forward sonar, I would say, but it's growing. You know, there's still a lot of people that are, you know, are preparing themselves to invest in it. But what's it going to do for them? How are they going to kind of implement it into their own fishing? And so many people, you know, they fish a home body of water that they probably are already pretty good at or good with, you know, they're probably satisfied with how they fish, but you know, that personal preference, like it's so much fun. And so, you know, and then I think if you invest in it, you know, and you're looking forward to having those fun eats on screen, but then you're inevitably going to learn a bunch.
Yeah. That's the thing I enjoy about it the most is how much you learn about the underwater environment from it. You know, the bites are cool and the catching fish is always fun, but to me, it's just the knowledge you can gain. Like even if sonar, forward facing sonar was banned someday, the knowledge that I've gained from watching it and fishing with it can never be taken away. Like I have learned so much about fish and fish behavior in just a couple years that there's just no replacement for that. So I think it's really neat that way. It's certainly bittersweet. You know, I also don't necessarily like the fact that the fish are so easy to find now. I don't love that. You know, I like using it, but at the same time, I kind of wish it didn't exist. to tell you the truth. Yeah, you know, like it's one of those things where it's like, it does take some of the raw connection to fishing out of it. And it also gives everyone a level playing field, sort of, too. You know, like it's, I guess it's an equalizer. So a lot of those fishermen who might have been weekend anglers, average guys, they're able to see and learn 10 times faster than they used to be able to. So just the skill level and the ability to find fish and be efficient, and it's just gonna, it's gonna skyrocket so much that it's gonna put some major pressure on the fishery that I kind of wish wasn't there, but it is what it is. So I'm rolling with it, and you know, that's just all you can do, in my opinion. There's no point complaining about it and being a party pooper, you know. It's there, and I'm using it, and you know, that's just the way it is. Not necessarily a huge fan that it's there, but since it is, I'm not gonna ignore it.
It seems like there's been, you know, to some extent, a little bit of an arms race to get out, you know, to the suspended fish, or to find fish that didn't know where they were, or we didn't know how to target them, you know, even if we mm-hmm. thought we knew they were there or whatever. But like, you know, and so to some extent, you know, the forward sonar, if not everybody has it, it can kind of in some ways maybe spread some people out a little bit, you know, in terms of, you know, talking about the pressure. For mm-hmm. you, do you find yourself this year with your new setup, are you spending a lot of time looking for new fish in new areas and kind of having fun with it that way? Or have you, or how much time do you spend recalibrating and dialing in some of the areas you've historically fished, you know, with or without it? Like, how would you sort of explain that to yourself, like, or about yourself? Like, are you looking for new fish more often now that you kind of have that set up in your boat?
I would say yes. It's so much easier to be okay with moving around when you can see what's going on under the water. You don't feel like, oh, if I move over here, I don't know what's there, and I might not be by any fish, and you know, I might waste half my morning not even being on fish. And but now you know if they're there or not. Like, I can pull up on a structure like a reef or a point, I can scope for 5 minutes and know if the fish are there or not. So yes, I definitely am trying a lot more new spots because I have instant confidence with that I can see them and I know they're there. So it's a lot easier to scout, you know, and scout new areas when you can literally look at the whole piece of structure in minutes and know if they're there or not. So yeah, definitely learning some new areas for sure.
And that's fun too, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm learning a ton about the lakes around here for sure. And I'm also learning that there is a lot more fish in these lakes than I thought there was. You know, a lot of times we were fishing by fish and we just weren't using the right bait or weren't catching them. They weren't biting. It wasn't that they weren't there. There's a ton of fish in these lakes. They're super healthy. So that's one good thing to see.
Anybody that's been on for this long by now is going to know how to kind of find your content and stuff like that. And I'll have that all in the intro or whatever. But that being said, any sort of updates on any kind of videos that you're looking to do the rest of the year, or just kind of what the rest of your season is going to set up like?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, since we talked last, I have gone full time on YouTube. So that's kind of a new development. I got out of plumbing completely in April, so that's exciting. So I'm spending a lot more time on the water, which is ideal. It's pretty hard to beat getting up every morning and putting that boat in. So that's been fun, and I've been making some versatile content. That's kind of what I've been doing lately. It's a little bit of the deep dives, a little bit of just catching cooks and going fishing, and then a little bit of kind of the little... Like, I just did a video on WD-40 and fishing, just a little 7-minute video, just kind of going over some of the old myths and some things you can actually use WD-40 that work really well. And just little things like that no one else is covering, kind of, that relate to fishing, doing some of that stuff. And that's kind of my plan moving forward, is those three kind of categories. So the deep dive, super technical stuff, the fun fishing videos and the catching cooks, and then kind of some of those more oddball, interesting factoid type videos. So got a bunch planned, and hopefully the rest of the summer I can get a bunch done and cranked out, and then we'll be on to ice season. So
all right, dude. Well, I appreciate your time, Caleb.